Kind of a gray day. I hope you like rainy weather. It's Indiana, it feels like these days. Yeah, as Lee alluded, if you've never heard that song before, I hope it blessed you because it's a wonderful song. The group that originally recorded that was called Caveman's Call. And when we started our sermon series through Luke, they were a big influence on me during my college years. The music that they wrote, if you were paying attention to the lyrics, they're very biblical and they're very thoughtful and it's not as much touchy-feely, and I really thought that was interesting. And so I kind of took a personal challenge just to see as I title all my sermons after Caveman's Call songs, which made it much more difficult challenge for Leah because now there's a song that if somebody knew, it's like, oh, are you guys going to do that? Sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. Today we did it, and I thought it's a wonderful fit because the passage that we'll read, while maybe it's not specifically talking about faith or grace as sand or rock, it 100% applies, and I think, anyway, it's worth looking into. So today we'll be wrapping up Luke 6. I actually finished this chunk of scripture, this chapter from verses 43 to the end. If you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along. It'll be up on the screen if you don't. Let's head in. Luke 6:43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we comprehend shifting sand and foundations of houses and good deeds that come from the treasure of our heart, and maybe we see that these maybe sound like two different stories or maybe difficult to connect, Lord, and I pray that what we'll do today is calm ourselves as we wrap up this year together as a church and we have this amazing closing bit of scripture from chapter 6 to study. I think we get a really clear picture of what it is that you would have us do and how we need to be approaching everything that we're going to deal with in our lives, Lord. The streams will break against us, and you've given us very clear perspective on what we should be doing to ensure that those streams don't destroy us and leave us in ruin. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement of your words. In your Son's name I pray, amen. First things first, Merry Christmas, pre-Happy New Year, I guess. We're not quite there yet, but I hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas. We did. Emma's home from college. Our daughter, who's back in the booth today on sound. Normally, we're scrambling to find someone to put back there, so it's been a blessing to have her home. Lots of nice things to see at Christmas time with some time off from work, so on and so forth. And so because of Christmas time, we're in Luke. We pivoted back a few chapters of year. If you saw last week's sermon, we were in Luke 2, very famous a bit where Linus is preaching. But now we're back to where we were, and we tend to try to not shift around too awful much. And today is actually pretty good, because I think if you're looking for a resolution for the new year, I'm not going to preach on make a resolution and stick to it. I mean, we should always probably have a resolution, but it doesn't need to be something around the new year. But this is a humdinger of a resolution. Let's build our house on rock. If you want something to work on this year, it's that. Let's dig into this a little bit. So good and bad, always separate. There's really no mincing of words here when we see Christ preaching this. This is if you've got a Bible that has red letters, this is red letters. So this is Jesus speaking to people, some great revelation from the Lord in the Word still, right? Still the Word of God here, but he says, good trees bear good fruit and bad trees bear bad fruit, right? Fig trees produce figs, that's it. They don't produce thorns, but briars and thorns, they produce thorns, not figs, period, full stop. You're not going to get good fruit from a bad tree, and you're not going to get bad fruit from a good tree. If good fruit is born, we can know the tree. Each tree is known by its own fruit. These are the words, this is right out of the Bible. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is known by its fruit. So good fruit is an indicator of a good tree. And good people and bad are like trees. So if you've got goodness in your heart, if your treasure is good stuff, the Word of God, these wonderful promises of the Lord, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if that's what you're treasuring, then you're going to produce good things. Evil produce evil from the treasure of their heart. And the key here, you'll notice it highlighted, is the treasure of their heart. What Christ is teaching us here is, if you've ever heard the saying, where your heart is, there goes your money also, or where your money is, there goes your heart, right? What you prioritize, what you work on, what you focus on, the things that are of interest to you, where you spend your time, the things you treasure are going to indicate what kind of fruits you're going to produce. Now, it may seem a little counterintuitive because we're talking about good trees and bad trees and good fruit and bad fruit, and they can't be. But we know there's this overarching notion of salvation and redemption. Christ does turn bad trees into good trees. But what we want to do is understand and think more about what it means to be a good tree. And we see here the treasure of their heart. From the treasure of the heart produces good. From the treasure of the heart produces evil. We will produce fruit from our treasures, and from the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. This gives a little bit of hint of what kind of things we're talking about in the world of fruit. I mean, I've not walked around and seen, I've never grown fruit per se, right? I've never been like, oh, look, it's a fig or it's a crisp berry or whatever. That doesn't happen. So there's something that we produce that is going to be, could be good deeds, it could be a good attitude or whatever else. But here we see a little bit of the hand being shown here. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So what we see here is the fruit that clearly is being talked about has something to do with the mouth speaking. So this is, what do you talk about? What do you mention? Are you edifying? Are you good? Are you complaining? Are you lifting up? Are you preaching good news? Are you bringing gloom and doom? Are you cutting others down? Are you building them up? And if that leads to a lot of questions in your mind about like, well, I don't know what kind of things I should be saying. I mean, I probably do know some things I probably shouldn't say. I grew up in a world where it was made very clear to me the things that I should not say. I knew that because there'd be a swatted hand come in, indicated note. But the things that I should say, well, I don't know. You know, I guess not that. What we see here is like, I need to figure out things to say that are good. What would the treasure of my heart be? It's going to overflow. Well, I had a great day at church today. I love my family today. I have a heart for the poor. I have a heart for the lost. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. This is, and God is good, and it's all for his glory. These sorts of things that come out of our mouths bears fruit. But if you're bitter and you're disdainful, and what's God done for me lately, and where's Christ been, that's something vastly different. From the abundance of our heart, from the stuff that we are full of in our mouth speaks. And now we see Christ pivot a little bit, and he says, do what I told you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I told you? It really couldn't be any clearer. Hearing, understanding, and even agreeing is clearly not enough. He doesn't say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you didn't hear clearly what I said? He says, and not do what I tell you. You heard it, you understand it, you might even agree with it, but if you don't do it, that's a problem. We must do what Jesus has told us to do. And to make this clear, I think Jesus uses a seemingly different example. I'm going to kind of argue a little bit that these two examples are very close to the same thing. Build on the rock. Yes. This is what we want to do. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Look at the first step, who dug deep. It will require effort to clear down to that rock. Clearly, you've got to dig. These are decisions that you can make. These are choices that you have. We don't see that he says, step one, create a rock. Step one, invent a foundation that's firm enough. No, it's there. It's already there. You didn't put it there. You got to get down to it. Get all the muck out of the way, all the loose soil and the sand and the silt and the detritus that's going to cause your building to tip and crack and roll and be destroyed. Get that out of the way. Build to the rock. Once the foundation's laid on that rock, the house is in good shape. We see here when the flood comes, the house weathers it without issues. When a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. The rock is the key. The rock is the key. Building on shifting sand? No. Step one in this one is start building. But the man who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. Step one, build the house. Now, if anyone's ever done anything in the real world that requires your hands and some effort, craft or a building project or anything, you can have something that starts very fast and looks very similar to a great outcome, right? If all you want to do is paint something, let's say, and you found a piece of dirty, you know, wet wood on the ground, and you picked it up and you spray painted it really quickly, you might be able to make it look pretty good for a minute, but it's not going to stay that way for long. There's work to be done to make things last. Preparation. And what we see here is, oh, no, I'm just going to build a house. No, I'm not clearing anything. I'm not going to worry about bedrock. I'm just going to start standing stuff up. It'll start fast. It'll look very similar to the house that was built on the bedrock. Both of them look pretty good on day one. But the absence of the foundation is quite a time saver for now. I got my house finished long before you. You're still over there pouring foundations and getting things hooked down to the rock, still clearing detritus out of the way. What a mess it is for you. And I'm already sitting over here with a roof over my head. But when the floods come, it collapses immediately and cannot be recovered. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. That Greek speaks to annihilation, bad destruction. Not, whoops, hold on, help me prop this up while I, you know, put some shims under there. It has been destroyed by the flood. So, points to ponder. Four of them today, as per usual. Number one, seek treasure that is solid and abundant. Solid and abundant. Number two, do what Jesus told you to do. These might seem like, well, these aren't really good tips. This is pretty obvious. Fair enough. Step three, build your house on the rock. And four, trust that the rock will last for eternity. That's a long time. So number one, seek treasure that is solid and abundant. If you've ever seen like in a pirate movie or something else where they're looking for treasure, it's very rarely, a wooden car made of balsa or like a bunch of leaves. It's always things like gold, metals, fine metals, things that are made to last, don't intrinsically lose their value. Something like gold is always a great example because it's an amazing metal that's almost inert to everything. It can't be affected by virtually anything. It maintains its purity without any oxidation. It doesn't get tainted by other metals being there. It doesn't rust. It makes a good treasure because it's almost impenetrable. And to bear good fruit, just like the word says, you need good treasure. Earnestly seeking the treasure is a wonderful start. So if you're thinking, well, you know, I don't know what to do, and I'm trying to get this sorted out. I want to be a better person. I want to bear good fruit. I want to impact the world for Christ. I have goals to do things better. I want to be better. Especially this time of year as we roll over into a new year, very few people are like, what I'm going to do this year is really let myself go and just phone it in with family and friends, slack off at work. That's my goal for this year. Hardly anybody ever says that. Most folks want to do better. But to bear good fruit, you need good treasure. And if you don't have that treasure, look for the treasure. I'll tell you this much, if you treasure your sin, you will bear bad fruit. So if what you've got is sin in your life and you're digging it and you're loving it and I've got it all sorted out and this is the way I'm going to pursue it and I'm going to run this down and do it myself, then get ready for bad fruit. Get ready for discord and not being content with life and frustrated with other people. We need something more than us. The treasure has to be bigger. My treasure has to be bigger than me. When you look at the world around us, there are lots of people that do this in many different ways. It's my family, it's my job, it's my hobbies, or the group of people that I hang around with, my friends, all these things. These are all people that I treasure too. But maybe that still feels a little hollow. Maybe that's not solid and abundant enough. If anyone's ever had a really good friend, they've probably, maybe they've let you down. I don't want to say probably, I don't want to condemn good friendship, but a lot of times you got a great friend and you put all your eggs in that basket, then one day you find out that basket was holy and their eggs are now bashed, and now what do I do? Now what do I do? My house has been torn asunder. I thought I was on bedrock, but it was a fake friendship. It was a lousy job. My family was taking advantage of me. My church didn't care, didn't get plugged in. All these things I was participating in this world, trying to build my house, and I felt that it was pretty good, one by one by one, let me down. We need something more than us. Number two, do what Jesus told you to do. I always think it's noteworthy that hypocrites, are not tolerated. Like, this is a pretty clear condemnation. If you say, Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I tell you to do, what's going on here? Absolutely, Jesus is in charge. He's my Savior, Lord and Savior. Great, build your house. Well, I'm not going to do that because, you know, I figured it out better than him. That's just the word for that we'd use today would be lip service. I say, Lord, Lord, but I don't actually act like Lord, Lord. I do what I want, but I try to give Christ the credit when things go well, and I try to write it off as a lesson learned when they go badly, but it's really me. Fundamentally, doing one thing while saying another is bad fruit with no foundation. If you're going to call Jesus Lord and you're not going to say that he's Lord, then it's like saying, well, I'm going to build my house on the foundation, and then you don't. Jesus has told, and we've been going through a lot of this in Luke, there's a lot of specific instructions from Christ, things to do, things to watch out for, things to learn from, how to treat others, how to treat yourself, how to treat Christ, how to understand who God is and what the kingdom is about. If we hear and believe Jesus, then we must act accordingly. You can't have it both ways. And this is going to be maybe sound abrasive or whatever else, but somebody who says, I am a Christian and I believe everything that Jesus says, but I never go to church because I don't need to go to church, then you don't believe everything Jesus says. We are specifically told not to. The Word of God is very clear that this is a big part. The fellowship, the community of Christ, the Church of Christ is an important part of it. Now, I'm not saying, well, I didn't know that. I just learned it today. Great. This goes back to the first notion of seeking the treasure. What is good? What is in the Word? How do we know? We dig into the Word. I wasn't born in knowing any of this stuff. I had to be taught this. I had to read this. I had to understand. I had to ask questions about it. That's what we're here to do. Understand more fully what the Bible says. And if we can take what the Bible says, understand it, believe it, and then do it, we will bear good fruit. I know it sounds like, well, I thought this is all, you know, what about? All this begins with Christ. We're getting there. But fundamentally, when we know what to do and we don't do it, that's a problem. We're asking for trouble. I know this because my mother specifically, I heard a lot growing up, something along these lines. You know better than that. Man, I mean, those words, like that cadence, you know better than that. You know better. What she's saying is, I taught you, I know you know it, and yet you're doing what you shouldn't do. Why? Why do you do that and then expect something to happen that's going to be good? Put your hand on a hot stove and it burns you. You know better than that. Well, yeah, but I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking. Nope. Maybe you weren't thinking. But I'll tell you this. If you ignore Jesus, you set yourself up for great ruin. If somebody tells you, if Christ says, steer clear of this, hey, don't build on that, or don't build on the shifting sand, dig down the rock. Oh, other people's sand might be very shifty, but the stuff that I've laid out is pretty darn good, Jesus. I think I'll be okay. Fast forward 9 months, your house is down. Maybe Jesus was right all along. Yeah, maybe. Along those lines, build your house on the rock. If you're looking at something to stand your life up on, to build everything off of, and you want it to last for eternity, that is the rock. That is God. That is Jesus. That is the truth of Scripture that is laid out in this word. Bullet one is the truth. It's going to take some work. It is going to, the world will not stop. There will be an onslaught of temptations and bad decisions, the things that want to ruin you, ruin your family. Maybe you start building your house and someone will try to convince you, well, you know, don't have to put the whole house on the rock, just put a little bit on the rock, then the rest of it can stand over here. But if the rock is strong enough, you know, it should be able to take care of you. You said the rock cares, and it's part of this. I've heard all these sorts of arguments where I'm going to test God. I'm going to not completely do what Christ said. No, put the work in. This is not something that just works. And if you've heard me preach before about where I stand regarding my theology, you'll know that what I bring to the table in my salvation is the sin that requires it. That's it. That's all that I bring. But yet I'm talking about working, doing the work. This isn't about saving yourself. The fact that there's a rock there, the rock was there. The knowledge and the desire, the understanding of the rock, this is something divine. But once that happens, once you're illumined, what we see here is Christ saying, don't squander that truth. Dig down. Do it right. Set an example. If you call yourself a Christian, you say, I believe the Bible and everything about it, and Jesus is Lord, Lord to me, and then you go promptly out and build a house on sand, bragging about how this house can never fall because, well, as the Bible promises, and then the house falls, people that don't understand are going to say, oh, that's a lie. You said it wouldn't fall, but it fell. Well, technically, I didn't quite get down to the rock, but you said you did. So are you a liar or are you ignorant or both? Don't be ignorant. Don't be a liar. We're here because we're trying to get rid of ignorance. We are studying the Word, not because we're good and we want to be smart, but because we want the Holy Spirit to change us. We want to know more about who God is and what He says about us and how to live our lives. You have to seek it, but you will find it. God does not hide. He doesn't elude us like, you can't catch me. It's not how this works. The rock is there. If you're hearing my words today and you're thinking, I'm tired of doing it my way, welcome to the family. There's a saying about, well, the more times I preach, the more people seem to get elected. Regardless of how you feel about theology, I'm telling you, the good word changes lives. It doesn't come back void. When we share this, amazing things happen because God is God. He's going to do what He wants to do. He chose for us to do this by sharing. When we walk around and we talk about bedrock being a big game changer and it's down there and God loves you, and dig with me. Let's dig together. Let's find the bedrock and build it up together. There is nothing that can shake us. It's permanent. It is eternal. It is unshakable. It doesn't even change. It doesn't even rot. Anybody ever been in a really, really nice house and heard it creak and groan? And what we always say, oh, it's settling. It's settling. This house, no settling. Never a creak or a groan, nothing. It doesn't shift a little bit down. Well, once the rock's still getting a little situated. No, the rock is immovable. It is immutable. It doesn't change. It is perfectly solid. And when you build on it, your house becomes the same way. And lastly, and this is the best part, trust that the rock will last for eternity. Shifting sand tends to shift. Everything around the rock might move. Wind and rain and all kinds of things come back and forth, but the rock that we are called to build upon does not ever change. If your treasure in your house when you're done building it is this foundation that it's built upon that's immovable and immutable and ever strong, that's a pretty good treasure. That's putting the treasure in the right place. Hey, that's great wall. That's a great wall that you built and this and the other, design of the house. Well, I can tell you right now, this house, as good as it looks and as great as it might be today, wind and weather will maybe weather the house a little bit, but the rock that I built on, that's the treasure, not this, right? I'll be adding rooms and renovating all through my life, but the rock, that's the key. Don't copy my house without copying my foundation. The rock we're called to build upon does not ever change. If you just walk around in even a small town like Martinsville, look at the style of houses. Look at how they've changed. If you just go down Washington Street over here, they've got these big houses that have this kind of early 1900s look, and a few have been renovated. You could drive out to Foxcliff and see different houses, and go out into the country and see old farmhouses. Styles of housing, designs of the floor plan have changed. We do church a lot differently today than they did 100 years ago and they did 1,000 years ago. But foundations are foundations, and that has not changed. This rock we're called to build upon has no beginning nor end and is steadfast forever. Eternity is a long time. This house will stand forever. And the last part, which I hinted at earlier, is there's no requirement for us to do anything but stand on it. You don't have to maintain the rock. You don't have to go out there occasionally and wipe it down or scrub it or strengthen it or any of these. The rock is glorious in and of itself. The house that we build that never moves glorifies the rock. It requires nothing of us. It is 100% capable on its own to sustain your house. So what about us? Bearing fruit, building houses are different. I don't think there's any question about that. But the source of the fruit and the foundation of your house better be good. If your treasure that you bear is based on the treasure, if the fruit that you bear is based on the treasure in your heart, then you want good treasure. If the strength of your house is based on the strength of your foundation, then you want a strong foundation. There is nothing that is stronger or better than God. When in doubt, build on God. If you treasure your sin, if you love your shifting sand, then your fruit will be no good. And if you treasure building very quickly without any preparation, you don't want to put the work in, you just want to get a house stood up and make it look like it's a nice place, then your house is going to be gone in short order, and you're going to be stuck there with your hands in the air thinking, you know, I feel like I was told not to do that. but I really wanted to be in that house quick. Measure twice, count once. Anyone ever heard that? Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Anybody ever heard that? Now, these sayings exist because we can see, we all kind of know, and we've been taught that doing it right the first time is worth the extra effort. You can save time and money. If I don't measure and I just start cutting boards, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to have to cut the boards again to do it right, or I'm going to end up with a product that's really mediocre. It's not very stable or sturdy. It doesn't look appealing, and it's not going to function as it's supposed to. If I know that something's going to be bad and I have the ability to stop it and I do nothing and just wait for the terrible thing to happen and then try to fix it later on, I may have to work a lot harder to correct this error that I knew would be problematic because I didn't heed the right advice. We must take the time. We are here today. We open this up. We talked about this in small group. We study the word week in and week out because we must know what the treasure is and how deep we must dig. If you don't know what bedrock means, if you have no idea what God is and how he would have us live our lives and the things that he would call us to do, the way to act and treat others, how to pray, how to study, how to worship, you may fall victim to doing it your own way, building an entire worship initiative on your own shifting sand. And then you wonder why things aren't happening. You wonder why the fruit that you're bearing is no good. Well, it's because your house is slipping away. There's cracks in all the walls, and you're working so hard to keep the house going that you've completely forgotten that perhaps maybe you didn't even build it on the bedrock it should have been built on. But the great news about all this is we're not called to do this alone. Nobody here has to go home and open up the Bible and scratch their head and say, well, it's time to figure it out like the pastor said. No. Jesus' teaching here reinforces the holiness, the need for holiness and right living. There's no question about that. But in order to do that, in order to understand what it means to be holy and what it is to quote-unquote live right, we must learn what God would ask of us. It's no surprise that Christ speaks in this way. Anybody ever heard the term that begs the question? Lots of what Jesus says begs the question. He wants you to ask. He wants you to think. He wants you to turn to a disciple or another believer and say, what do you think that means? What do you call me, Lord, Lord, not do what I tell you? When I was in school, a question like that would be similar to like, is this on the test? What do you call me, Lord, Lord, not do what I told you? Ooh, what did he tell us? Did he say to do something? Well, he's been saying to do something for a minute now. Well, I wasn't paying attention. Tell me everything that he said to do. Sit down, because he's said a few things here. But the key thing here is what Christ is saying is pay attention. Do the needful. Dig. Dig. If we learn what God would ask of us, when we start to understand this, what we see is time and time again, the Holy Spirit begins to illumine us, and then we can rely on the Holy Spirit and his church to build us up in those ways. Now, make no mistake, his church is only as strong as he is. The good news is Jesus Christ is incredibly strong. God has chosen to use the church and this body as a mechanism to share this good news. People often ask and wonder, why doesn't God just revelate at his will? Why does he just like go have an angel appear like he did with Christ's birth in the middle of Africa and say, behold, I bring you yet again good tidings of great joy. The Bible is true and real. Christ is the Son of God. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross, bore the sins of mankind, and has now paved the way for us to have eternal salvation with God the Father. Thank you and good night, and disappear. Why? I'll tell you. I don't know. That's it. God decided he was going to do it this way. God said, I'm going to use my church and my believers. They will be the ones that will spread the good news. He gave us a job to do. It's the old shake and bake commercial, and we helped. We didn't buy the shake and bake. We didn't buy the chicken. We didn't do any of the work, but we get to shake the bag, and God smiles at us and says, great job. Thanks for helping. Here's a blessing for you. When we talk about the food and how great it is, we'll say, yay, you helped. Remember, I did help. I did help. But as we grow and mature, just unlike the kid in the commercial, when we get older, we say, I really didn't help at all. All glory should be to God. He bought the chicken and bought the shake and bake and put the bag together and told me how to wash. He did everything and gave me a job and I did it, but I was only able to understand the job and do the job because of God. This is what I'm talking about. We talk about building on the rock. I want to know everything that I can know about God and what he would have me do and know and understand so that when the Holy Spirit begins to work and we begin to gather as a church and we can work together, we don't waste our time. We study the Bible every week for this very reason. It's not because we're good or smart. It's not because we're trying to be cool or influence people. It's not because we want to be seen as a great church that's super exciting. It's because God said, teach this. Take the good news, share it with everybody. That's the great commandment. Keep God where he is, a great commission. Keep God where he is, that's a great commandment. God is God. He's the best. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, let me tell you about him. That's what we're called to do. So today's call to action. If you don't know that you're on bedrock, if it seems like this is a good idea, but I'm just not certain where I built, you know, I've been maintaining my house a while. I don't know if this is just normal maintenance or if I should rethink how deep I've dug. Reach out to us. We want to talk. We want to pray about you in the situation and help you find bedrock. If you don't have anyone helping you maintain your house, reach out to us. That's one of the wonderful things as a church. You know, if you sit inside your house long enough, you don't necessarily see if something, a tree has fallen on it on the outside, and maybe you need to get out there and do something about it. Maybe your gutters are overflowing. It's nice to take a look at each other's house every now and again. Say, hey, I don't know if you're aware, but, you know, this is broken. You got some broken glass on a second story. Well, I don't get up there very often. Yeah, you probably don't want the water coming in. It might cause some problems. So if that's where you are, come join us as a church. We'd love to have you. If you're trying to treasure what's good, if I'm down on the bedrock and I'm doing the work and I'm digging like crazy, I want to make sure it's great, you're in the right place. That's what we're doing every single Sunday. We are trying to make sure that we're keeping things well away. We want to put things on the bedrock. We want to have good, solid treasure. And lastly, let's pray for those that treasure evil and keep building lousy houses, especially those that are doing this in the name of Jesus. The world can look around and see so many failed Christians and failed people who talked and made it very clear that, well, you know, I've got it all figured out. Listen to me. Then when you see their house collapse, it ends up tarnishing the whole thing. May it never be so with us. We can be honest and frank. There's a big difference between being hypocritical and being sinful. It's okay to sin and say, I'm a sinner and I got to get that fixed. It's a vastly different thing to deny the sin or try to claim it as good while telling other people that it's bad. If you're going to call Jesus Lord, Lord, and not do what he tells you, steer clear of that at all costs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. I thank you for the closure of Luke 6 as we move through this book, this gospel, this fundament of good news, Lord. I pray that we are taking some stock in ourselves and figuring out what we're building our house on. We don't want our house to be knocked down every time it's windy, every time it rains, every time the waters rise, Lord. We get tired of that. It gets frustrating. We waste so much time trying to maintain. Lord, help us to get a conviction that we want to build our house on a rock that does not ever quit. It never fails. It's never going to be caught off guard. It's never going to be surprised or taken aback. It's never going to have to think of an alternate plan for us. Lord, you have every single moment of our entire lives known to you. And yet we still are able to make decisions and live full lives here. You've done something absolutely extraordinary, but nowhere near as extraordinary as what your son did on that cross for us. We stand here today, I stand here today, a child of God because of the work of Jesus on the cross. And I didn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, but it was a gift. It was grace, and it was mercy. And just like the song that we sang, Shifting Sand, Lord, help us to stand on your grace. That rock that we dig down to, the fact that it's there, the fact that we can build on it and you call us to do it, is grace upon grace beyond measure. We don't deserve such a firm foundation, but yet you are one. We don't deserve a Savior who is willing to suffer the wrath of God, but we have one. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for these amazing passages, Lord. As we move into a new year, Lord, I just pray that we'll be able to, if we've been floundering around trying to figure out how to build our house, let's start it right. Let's take some time to dig down to the rock. Let's understand what bedrock means. Let's get down to brass tacks, and let's get our houses built right. Thank you for this time together again, Lord. In your sense, I pray. Amen.